Lord, everyone, let us look unto the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, precious and almighty Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving this wonderful opportunity today to come into thy throne of grace, to exalt and adore thee, Lord, and to remember thee around your table. What a joy it is, Lord, to come as a group of blood-bought believers, to rejoice in you, to remember you, to worship you. Lord, it is a privilege what thou hast granted to us. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us under your loving wings, carrying us under your mighty wings till now. Lord, as we meditate upon thy word, Lord, we are unwise and foolish people. Lord, speak to us, Lord, individually. Lord, you know where we are in our lives. You know, Lord, you know what we need to see and listen. So, Lord, I submit myself into living hands and everyone under the sprinkling blood of the Lamb. Lord, teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to Exodus chapter 19. Verse 1 to 10. It's a very old scripture. Young people can come and sit in the front. They're sitting in the back. You both young boys can come and sit in the front. Yeah. Exodus chapter 19. Verse 1 to 10. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai. And it's pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto the God, and Lord called unto him out of mountain, saying, Thus shalt say thou to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. May Lord bless this word. I was meditating on the word of God to share what I should share. And then I was, in my daily portion, I was in Exodus. When I was reading this word, reading this chapter, somehow I could not go away from this chapter. This is the first time I'm seeing that Lord wants to talk with his people personally. And there is something kind of transaction or a commitment is going on between the people of the Lord and the Lord himself. Always Lord said, do this, do that. But he wants Moses to go and tell something. And he was waiting for the Moses to come back and tell him something, right? And this kind of transaction, and here, and the purpose of the Lord also. Because all the Exodus, at the time of the people were in the Egypt, always Lord was saying to Moses, let my people go so that they worship me. I mean, never he disclosed this kind of his eternal purpose to the Israel. So I was thinking like when I was just going through the process so that young people can also know, when the Lord delivered them from the Egypt, went to the Red Sea, I think they came into the wilderness of Shur, and there were 3 days, and they were pretty thirsty. And they came into the Exodus 15th chapter, 23 to 26 verse, they found a waters. They are regular people like us, and they were thirsty. And but when the Lord ordered, or Lord advised Moses what should be done, we all know that story, the water has become sweet. There, once the water has become sweet, when they drank the water, the Moses preached one thing to them over the in 26th or 25th and 26th verse. Hearken the voice of the Lord and do which is right in his sight. It is such a generic statement, right? I mean, these people don't know what is right in the sight because they were slaves. And then they came to Elim, right? They had those 12 wells, and that is in 27th verse of 15th chapter. They were, and also some trees, they took the rest. Then they were traveling again. Then they lack a bread, right? They were asking for a food as a normal people. And at this time, they were all kind of murmuring against the Lord. And when they're murmuring, but Lord was gracious enough, right? Lord wanted to show his glory, right, to them. So he has rained the bread from the heaven, which they ate, called manna, in the 16th chapter of Exodus 4 to 7. And Moses said to them here, you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he heareth your murmuring against the Lord. Right? It sometimes it looks like our own story, right? Own story of our life, right? Own story of the life, right? Moses said, you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he heareth your murmuring against the Lord. Then it doesn't end there, because our story never ends there. Then they came to, right, Horeb in Exodus 17 chapter verse 2 to 6. Then the Lord said, I will stand upon the rock, right? I will stand upon the rock. You beat the rock. There, the word of God says, Israel tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? What a journey of the Israel. Israel, although they have seen the wonders in their life, how they delivered him, but it's a natural story of any human mankind. We are not different from them. In fact, we have been more worse than them, walking in the wilderness, how dangerous it would be. But these are very important, that Israel tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? I mean, a situation would, they went into such a situation, you know, the water is so important when you're in the wilderness, right? Or when you're traveling through the desert areas. So they questioned whether the Lord exists. But the Lord brought them to worship the same Lord. And then in the Exodus 17 chapter, Amalek has attacked them. They won the war. All this process, Lord is taking them. Lord is trying to find, I think Lord was trying to find a time, when should I deliver my will to them? When should I talk with them in a proper way, that for what purpose I brought? So this is the first time in this chapter Lord wanted to speak to them why he brought them out of the Egypt. I mean, if you look at the physical condition of the Israel, 400 years they were slaves, no honor for them, right? No honor for them. I don't know how their living style, how is their clothing style, what is the food, where they slept, right? In a very, 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 very meek conditions. And above all, now they're running around in the desert. But Lord wants to convey them for what purpose they are brought over here. So when you're meditating upon this word, in the third and the fourth verse, Lord is, of the 19th chapter of this Exodus, Lord is asking, hey, Moses, go and tell to the children of Israel, right? Go and tell to the children of Israel that I have brought them on their wings, on my wings, right, out of the Egypt. When Lord is introducing this fifth verse and the sixth verse, these were two powerful verses. Now, therefore, if you'll obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the Israel. From these words I could not move forward. Here, Lord trying to tell them that tell to Israel that they are not brought out of the state into the liberty and honor, but Lord wants them to be brought into the covenant and in communion with them, which is pretty new to them, right? They were thinking that we want a liberty, we want an honor, like just like a word. But Lord has something else more than that. He wanted to bring them into the commitment, into the covenant, and the communion. But all he wants is, I mean, he's not saying how we will bring. He's saying, this is what my desire is, right? Are you okay with it, right? And Lord just want to hear in the fifth verse whether they will obey or not. I mean, at this point of time, Moses just went away and told these words to them. They might have surprised, what is these words, right? Holy nation and priesthood, right? They want liberty, they want honor, they want good life, right? Eat well, maybe they want to dress like Egyptians, right? Ride horses, I don't know, right? Have a respected, dignified living, you know? But he's talking something new. He's talking about, he's saying that you're a peculiar treasure. And he's saying, I want to make the kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I don't know whether they even know what is priest at that point of time. They might have seen the priest of the Egyptians far away, what they were doing, you know, shave the heads and doing all those things. Here, but still, when he took this, when they took these words to them, they all responded in the eighth verse, we will do. It is not because they understood what it is, right? This is true with us too. Really, we don't understand everything. If I say royal priesthood, because many of the kids don't know what priest does over here, right? Especially young people. Many times they've heard the word royal priest, right? We don't see priest around over here, because when this was written, few people understand what this priest looks like and how are their duties. Later the Lord gave them. So it's not because they understand what the Lord said completely, but they said we will do because they understood who are they under him. You know, they understood who are they under him. Because they have seen how mighty is that person who delivered them from the mighty hands of the Pharaoh. Because in these people's eyes, Pharaoh is the greatest, and they were under him. So they've understood this God is the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac is greater than the Pharaoh. Right? He wants to do something with us, and we will do. I mean, this is the heart what the Lord looks, because many times we don't understand all what the Lord wants to do with us, how his plan, he is to transform us. But Lord only wants whether with full-heartedly, right, we can say we will do. I mean, we will do, this word actually reminds about our salvation, and also when the children take the baptism and say we will do, we will follow the Lord, you know. At this time, we never know what is our life, what we will do. Many times as a young children, we heard this voice of royal priest and holy nation. But this young children reminds us when they take the baptism and say, we will follow the Lord. We will do. There are many this kind of promises we have done in the presence of the Lord, right? When we get married, we'll say, I will do. We will do. Right? Those are very great things, because we are agreeing that we are in this great presence of the Lord, and we will do, and I will do. This is what the Israelites have done. And this is what, and when the Lord heard this, I mean, I don't know whether the Lord, we all know the Lord knows the hearts of the people. But when the Lord heard this, in the ninth verse, of the 19th chapter, and the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. This is what the Lord's heart is. He wants to speak with them. Moses might have thought, you know, you tell me, I go and tell every time. But Lord wants to show forth his greatness to the children, because now he wants to have a direct conversation with them. So I was thinking about these three things. What about this peculiar treasure and the royal priesthood and holy nation? I mean, we have been hearing these messages many times, and this echoes in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, right? And it also echoes we can read that. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, I think, before last week, Brother Mac also had shared a message on this. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purity unto himself, a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure, and a good works. And you also see in 1 Peter 2, 9, right? 1 Peter 2, 5, it says, You are, 1 Peter 2, 5, you also are lively stones that built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And in the 9th verse, you again see, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, and a peculiar people. You would see this, how this is like, how strong is this desire of the Lord. And this is the desire of the Lord before laying the foundation of this earth, that we should be a peculiar treasure and a holy nation and a royal priesthood. And in Revelation chapter 1, when it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's introducing himself, and he says in the 6th verse, Revelation 1:6, And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So this is such a term which this world doesn't understand. The Lord is saying, I want you to be like a nation. You know, sometimes there are so many races here, over here in this world. But Lord is talking about a new race, you know. Some new nation, which we are looking for, right? So I was thinking, let me go into these three things for the benefit of the young people also, very simply define it, trying to see, so that we can understand for the heart of the Lord, so that we have the mindset of this new kingdom, you know. As we have been drawn with so many things around us, we are drawn away from this mindset. The mindset of the Lord, that you are a different nation where the Lord wants us to be. So looking at the peculiar treasure, so I was looking at a few of the Bible tools. It says a treasure that kept under the lock and key. In other words, we can say the rest of the world is trash in comparison with them. I mean, have you ever felt that you are a peculiar treasure? Unfortunately, we feel that we are a trash. And feel others are a peculiar treasure. Well, the young people are growing, you are a peculiar treasure. And the men and adults who are going their lives, midlife, we are a peculiar treasure. The Lord has prepared us for himself. Lord, when they said peculiar, he never left them peculiar, saying that you are peculiar and you can go now. When the Lord said in Exodus chapter 19, you are peculiar treasure, going forward, for the peculiar treasure, God has given a divine regulations. Right? For this peculiar treasure, God has given a divine ordinances. For this peculiar treasure, he gave the promise of the eternal life. For this peculiar treasure, he poured out of the Spirit. You know? This is not given for everyone. It's only for a peculiar treasure. God sees you as a peculiar treasure. That is what he's pouring out everything what he has on us. That is what he wants to do to this generation, this Israel generation, what he brought them, of the way he brought them from the Egypt, not to just wander or just give one kingdom so that they can rule and move over and enjoy their life. Lord wants to give the special thing when no humankind was given. That is the reason Lord has drawn them out of the Egypt. For them, for Israel, going forward, if you see, he gave them so many laws how to become a peculiar treasure. Right? How to become a peculiar treasure, how to walk as a peculiar treasure, you know. But for us, at least, we could not go through all the law. Lord knows that, right? Our Lord knows. So he gave Christ for us that he would make us a peculiar treasure. That's what we read in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. So when Israel's have said, it says in the 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Peculiar people, not like a weird people. Kids may think peculiar is weird. It's not weird. Biblical definition of peculiar is not weird. The biblical definition of peculiar is like a special, not special kids, okay, special. It's a special treasure where you lock in, you know. You should remember that you are a peculiar treasure, you know. When Israel says that we will do, their statement reflects a sincere, wholehearted commitment at the moment, even though they did not fully grasp. I mean, even though you fully don't grasp, you need to accept that you are a peculiar treasure, you know. And we know that, you know, it is not within our hands to become a peculiar treasure, but it is in the hands of the Lord to make you a peculiar treasure. It is not that we come here every Sunday and worship the Lord and go to the meetings. This peculiar treasure is outside the church, outside this church, when you live a life outside this church, do you feel this? Are you a peculiar treasure of Christ? You know, or do you realize that the Christ gave, right, himself to make you a peculiar treasure? There's so many complaints in today's world. We forget that we are different and the whole world is different. The Lord has separated you to be a peculiar treasure. There may be an issues in life. There may be an issues with the government. There may be issues with the office. There's an issues with the family. You know, these news are so great. Someday you feel the news of the world are like this. Someday you feel hype. Someday you feel down, right? But when you understand that you're peculiar treasure in the Christian life, you know where you're walking on. You know what you are. Many times the news of the world and the situation of the world make you forget that you're a peculiar treasure. We only feel peculiar when you come to the church and participate in the Lord's table. Once we go out of the church, we forget that we are a peculiar treasure. See, there are many races as in the world, but Lord wants to make a peculiar race. That is you and me, you know. This race where we are born, one day we'll be losing this flesh. One day we'll be losing our authority, right? One day we'll be losing the houses also, you know. Many people have, when they buy a new home, they're so happy. Within no time, they know they need to downsize, move to the other homes. Right? I did not see anyone not downsizing within 10,000 days of their life. That is, how many years? 30 years, right? So whatever we are standing on, saying mine and doing, this all will be done, gone in 10,000 days. But you know, God has made us to be a peculiar treasure. That is for eternity. The things of the world may disappoint you, and the world will divert us from the truth that we are peculiar treasure. The world always makes our concentration and our thought on something else to be happy, on something else to be sad, but always divert us so that our eyes are not on the thought of Christ saying that we are a peculiar treasure. And the second thing I was looking at, there is a kingdom of priests in the same Exodus chapter 19. A priest is employed to serve the Lord, like it's priest employed in immediate service. When we are born again, or when this Israelites were brought out of the Egypt, the Lord instead of brought them out of the Egypt, he brought them out of the Egypt of the servitude attitude and the bondage that they had in Egypt. God wanted them to be erected into a kingdom, a free state, governed by his own law. You see that? He wanted to make this peculiar people a free state. Although there are many free states in the whole world, people are fighting for, every part of the world is fighting a free state. But the God's idea for redeeming us is to erect us as a kingdom and make us as a free, as a government which is governed by his law. And this kingdom, they should be his kingdom, and he want him to be their immediate king. And this kingdom should be in such a way that they have an access to the God, serve him, and offering sacrifices to him. And this kingdom, Lord wants to take a victory of several kings. You know, when the Lord brought the Israel out of the Egypt, this is what is mine. He don't want this kingdom to be a kingdom which is not recognized by anyone. He wants this kingdom should be erected. A kingdom should, everybody should see. This is a special kingdom made up of a peculiar people. And this kingdom should take a victory over neighboring kingdoms or other kings who come against the work of the Lord. And this kingdom's work is to offer a spiritual sacrifice. Like in the priesthood, when we read in the 1 Peter 2:9, this kingdom, it says, but you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood and a holy nation and a peculiar people that show forth the praises of him who hath called out of the darkness. The purpose of the kingdom is show forth the praises, you know. But we know how tactically the enemy has taken Israel away from this vision. Instead of they become erected as a kingdom, right? They went under to the Babylon. They've been ruled by many, many kings. That was not the Lord's desire. But they forgot the things. What they say we will do, and they went away from the real desire of the Lord. The kingdoms of this world have attracted so them, they forgot for what purpose the kingdom was erected by the Lord. You know, this is so true today. The kingdoms of the earth, the kingdoms of the world can easily draw us from the kingdom of the Lord. Sometimes we are so happy with everything what is happening in the kingdoms of the world, we forget that is not our kingdom at all. That is not at all. If you are getting pulled into those things and feeling happy and the sad, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you totally went away from the purpose of the Lord. You know, it's a very, 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 very skeptic thing what the enemy does. Enemy make us to realize and forget that the kingdom which is not visible doesn't exist. You know, kingdom which doesn't visible doesn't exist. So easily, once we go out of this place, we are busy looking at the other things of the kingdom. We forget that we have been erected as a kingdom for him. It says that the kingdom mindset, but unfortunately the kingdom of world easily draws away from the kingdom of priest. So in this kingdom, in this kingdom of priests, in the 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter 9th verse, it says, show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness. And the rest, you have so many things what need to be done, right? But my thing is not what all things to be done. My desire is to remember ourselves, whether we have the eyes on that kingdom or we have got disconnected from the kingdom. Or we have become another religious entity like Hinduism, Islam, and other religion, or we have that kingdom mindset. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul reminds us about this. If ye be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. In other translation, it says in the second verse, set your mind. So Paul is reminding the mindset of this kingdom. The enemy wants us to draw away from the mindset of the kingdom which the Lord has erected and drawing towards the earthly kingdoms. Sometimes we are sad, sometimes we are happy because of the earthly kingdoms. But Paul doesn't want that. He wants your mindset be the mindset of the kingdom which is above. If you're feeling joy and sad, anything other than the Christ, then definitely that is not the kingdom what the Lord wants us to be in. You know? If you're sad, Lord wants to bring the things unto his kingdom. If you're joy, Lord wants to bring those joy into his kingdom and see, hey, is it matches the kingdom of my Christ? That is the reason in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the Lord said, you know, catch all those imagination and thoughts and bring into the subjection of the Christ. Otherwise, dear brothers and sisters, we would be lost into this kingdom so easily, thinking that we are Christians. That is true, but we have lost the connection with the kingdom, what the Lord has a desire. And this desire is not today the Lord had. The desire is with the Lord is before laying the foundation of this earth. He tried to explain to the Israelites all the time. In the Deuteronomy also, I don't remember, 7th chapter, he says, Deuteronomy. Seventh chapter, 6th verse. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. You know, we all belong to one nation. But there is a separation of holiness for the Lord. Lord wants his own kingdom, not the kingdom erected by the humans, not the kingdom erected by us, from anyone else, but Lord wants his own kingdom. But unfortunately, we have our own kingdoms within this heavenly kingdom. Have you understood that? We all have our own kingdoms with the heavenly kingdom. The Lord doesn't want that. Lord wants we all to be part of that holy kingdom. Enemy's job is just to draw you away from the thought of the holy kingdom, put into the earthly kingdom, make you and me busy out of it. Then we'll forget the purpose for why the Lord brought you and me out of the Egypt. That's what happened with the Egyptians. The young boys and young girls are going to the college. They don't understand. They are the peculiar people. And Lord is trying to erect a kingdom, a holy kingdom through them. And they don't know what they're walking. And how do they know what is right and what is wrong? Every debate is so convincing that you're half sold to it anyway. It depends on the person who present it. But for us, the Lord presented only one thing, that he want a nation for him. He want a people for him. He want a separated kingdom for him, which is different from the earthly kingdoms. So this priest in the First Peter, we have seen the spiritual sacrifices in 2:9 and everywhere, and we also saw how these spiritual sacrifices are there. But we are so fortunate, because those people may have not known. For them, so much love was given to understand how the priest is. But for us, the Christ itself is our priest. He's not only our priest, he's also our sacrifice. So all we can do as a young people is hold on to Christ. Lord, I want to be your priest, but I don't know how I to be. But I want to be a peculiar treasure, because you said I am a peculiar treasure. I want to be that kingdom, erected kingdom. Lead me. Lord just takes you through all the steps one by one. If you're not able to bring all the thoughts and imaginations to the Lord, then very easily your thoughts and imaginations can start to work against the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought? Have you ever examined your joy or your sorrow can work against the kingdom of the Lord? Or your actions or your thoughts drawing you away from the real purpose of the Lord? You know, when the Lord looked at his people, he was so joyful. He wants to talk with them. He wants them to hear his voice, so they will see how powerful is he. The Lord is same today also. He wants to talk with his people. I mean, he wants to talk with each of you personally and convey you what his kingdom means, what his kingdom is, and what his peculiar treasure means. And not only that, as a holy nation, and the third one I was looking is a holy nation. I was thinking, we are so busy in this world. We have so much of discussions going around the world about all the nations of the world. But Lord's heart is different. He's thinking about some other nation, right? Every political view of all the countries are talking about the nation, which is not the nation what the Lord is talking about. You know, 90% of the time of human is gone into the nations, which will not be part of it anyway after a few years. Maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Anyway, will not be part of the nation. There's only two nations, maybe only one nation. One is the nation of the Lord, and which is another one is not the nation of the Lord. There's only two nations. Everything of the world is speaking so much things about the worldly nation. The few things left which speaks about the holy nation. Few instances left. No one wants to talk about this holy nation. Nobody wants to debate about the holy nation. If you talk about the holy nation, people may think you're crazy, you know. People may think you're crazy. So I want these young people to think about, you are the children of this holy nation, which God, I don't want to say God dreamt about, but this is what the Lord's desire is. If you really examine ourselves, our day-to-day life, how much percentage of our day-to-day talk is about holy nation? And how much is a percentage of our talk is not about this holy nation? You know, that is what the enemy want to rob. Enemy want to rob the original purpose of the Lord, for what purpose the Lord saved you and me. In Satan convinced Adam and Eve to reject the God's rule, right? In Genesis 3:1-2, and the nations formed, right? If Satan would not have convinced the Adam and Eve to reject the Lord's rule, maybe there would be only one nation, that is a God's nation, you know? And today also, we are rejecting the Lord's rule on every of our thoughts and actions. And we want our own nation built, a nation which is built on our feelings, on our emotions, on our thoughts. As we read in Deuteronomy 7:6, "For you are the holy people, holy to the Lord, and the Lord has chosen you to be a nation." Until we recognize the Christ, the very heart of the Christ, you cannot desire for this holy nation. We all vote in this world, and voting is a very good thing because you want this nation to be good. We all talk, we all debate, we all have our opinions. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord in a still voice is saying, "What about my nation? The nation which I want to build before laying the foundation of this earth." If you have lost the interest about this holy nation, we are no better than Adam and Eve being convinced by a serpent to reject the Lord's rule, even after being saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even after the Lord paying the price on the cross. I mean, what God could do? By the time of Adam and Eve, maybe although Adam was walking with the Lord, maybe he didn't have so much of understanding. Maybe Eve did not have so much of understanding. I don't want to differentiate over there, but they rejected it. Today also, knowingly or unknowingly, with our actions, with our thoughts, we are rejecting the concept of holy nation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 9, 10, 11, if you go over there, it's asking to demonstrate this holy nation, if it is in you, if you are desiring to go into this holy nation, it says to demonstrate the glory of the Lord. Right? 1 Peter 2, 9, right? "Show forth the praises who hath called him." And also it says, "Behaving excellently among the Gentiles so that they can glorify the Lord," in 12th chapter. It's talking this holy nation. If you're a part of the holy nation, Lord, this God wants you to demonstrate the glory of the Lord through you, through your and my living. If you're not in the business of demonstrating the glory of the Lord, if you're not in the business in behaving in a way so that people bring glory unto the Lord, we have lost the vision of the holy nation completely, the way Israelites have lost, which the Lord restored to us, Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not watchful of this nation, many times you're so watchful about this earthly nations and everything, right? If you're not able to demonstrating the glory of the Lord through our lives, we have fallen. We have fallen away from the Lord. Lord is coming up with all these three things: royal priesthood and holy nation and a peculiar treasure. We are just talking about these things, but we don't have even one clue, not able to demonstrate one part of it through our lives. Somehow I was not able to go beyond this verses. Why, Lord, what's happening with this? Why, what is happening with this, with us? Why church is becoming weaker and weaker, not able to influence out. How come others are influencing so strong? Because church has lost the thought of being a nation. In the church, we are thinking there are many nations. There is not. There is only one nation. Church has totally lost that we are a nation. There are no multiple races forever. Multiple races only when you're born on this earth. There's only one race, that's a peculiar treasure race in the sight of the Lord. It's a challenge for us. But Lord did not left us alone in this. He was a forerunner for us. According to Hebrews 4, 14 and 15, he was a priest. He ran before us. He reminds us that you are a nation. And you are a priest like me. We are standing with him. We are not somewhere. We are so habituated to praise the Lord with so much of words we know. And we are habituated to bring all our things to the Lord, but not able to live the life or be a nation what the Lord wants to be. You know. May Lord bless this word. Dear Lord, thank you for this, bringing this word, Lord, the simple verses, but it's your purpose, that is your desire. When even Israel heard these words, they thought it's simple, and they said, we will do. We have said so many times that we will do. But lost in the nations of this world. Lord, for what purpose you have drawn us out? You brought us to erect a kingdom for you. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Lead us according to thy will. In Jesus' name.